Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
This is a message that is specifically addressed to folks who have repented and escaped the judgment of God and then have turned back to their old ways thinking God's letting them get away with what they're doing now. I remember years ago, I knew a fella, and, you know, he was a rounder, we used to call him. In other words, get around. Drank heavily and that kind of thing, and he went to the doctor and found out that he was going to need major heart bypass surgery. So he came to see me, and he explained to me what was involved in the procedure, and he got scared, and he wanted me to pray with him, and then he wanted me to pray for him, and he said, I'll tell you what, when I recover from this surgery, I'm coming back to church. So had the surgery, and it was a success, and he never came back to church. You know what he did? As soon as he escaped the trouble, as soon as he dodged the bullet, you know what he did? He went right back to what he was doing before. And I'm going to tell you what, it was worse for him later than it was before the surgery, and it wasn't too much longer after all of that that his dissipation and his wayward life killed him. And that was the end of that. I'm going to tell you, this is a very common and typical scenario for men. I mean, you do something bad, you get caught, you repent, but then in short order, you're right back doing what you were doing before. And it's worse. Now, the Bible is going to show you today, through several passages, that the latter end is worse with you than the beginning. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. If after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. That's what the Bible says. And it's true. We're going to show you some men in the Bible, some passages of Scripture where the very thing we're talking about is absolutely true. First of all, we want to show you that the latter end was worse for Zedekiah. Turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 34. Jeremiah chapter 34. In Jeremiah chapter 34, we read these things. I'm going to read several verses out of the chapter here, but I won't read the whole chapter, so we can just pick up the high points and see where things went wrong for Zedekiah. Jeremiah chapter 34, verse 4 and 5. Jeremiah says, "Yet hear the word of the Lord, O Zedekiah, king of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of thee, thou shalt not die by the sword, but thou shalt die in peace, and with the burnings of thy fathers, the former kings, which were before thee, so shall they burn odors for thee, and they will lament thee, saying, Ah, Lord, for I have pronounced the word, saith the Lord." Now, these burnings that are given for the former kings, those are good things. It's a time of mourning. It is a time of honor. And it, as this prophecy says, is an assurance to Zedekiah that he would die in peace. Okay? Now, look with me in verses 8 through 11. This is the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Lord after that the king Zedekiah made a covenant with all the people, which were at Jerusalem, to proclaim liberty unto them, that every man should let his manservant, and every man his maidservant, being an Hebrew or an Hebrewess, go free, that none should serve himself of them, to wit of a Jew, his brother. Now when all the princes and all the people, which had entered into the covenant, heard that every one should let his manservant and every one his maidservant go free, that none should serve themselves of them any more, then they obeyed and let them go. But afterward they turned and caused the servants and the handmaids, whom they had let go free, to return, and brought them into subjection for servants and for handmaids. So what had happened is that after Zedekiah had gotten this prophecy from Jeremiah, he thought, you know what, we need to do right by these manservants and these maidservants. And so he let them go free. It was a covenant. And that was to gain favor with the Lord and to do the right thing by the law. And after they had done it, everybody thought, well, wait a minute, that was a dumb thing. And they went and put these men and women back under bondage and brought them into subjection for servants and for handmaids. Watch how Lord responded to that. Look at verse 15, Jeremiah chapter 34. You were now turned and had done right in my sight in proclaiming liberty, every man to his neighbor, and you'd made a covenant before me in the house which is called by my name. But you turned and polluted my name and caused every man his servant and every man his handmaid, whom you had set at liberty at their pleasure, to return and brought them into subjection to be unto you for servants and for handmaids. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, you have not hearkened unto me in proclaiming liberty, every one to his brother and every man to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim a liberty for you, saith the Lord, to the sword and to the pestilence and to the famine, and I will make you to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. Notice verses 20 to 22. The Lord says, I even give them into the hand of their enemies and into the hand of them that seek their life, and their dead bodies shall be for meat to the fowls of heaven, to the beasts of the earth. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his princes will I give into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of them that seek their life, and into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which are gone up from you. Behold, I will command, saith the Lord, and cause them to return to this city, and they shall fight against it, and take it, and burn it with fire. And I will make the cities of Judah a desolation without an inhabitant. Now listen. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, attacked once, long before Zedekiah was king. He attacked once when Jehoiakim was king. Then he attacked again later when Jehoiachin, C-H-I-N, was king. Jehoiachin was taken captive, and Nebuchadnezzar made Zedekiah king in his place. Jeremiah prophesied that Zedekiah and the rest of Judah should yield to Nebuchadnezzar. Zedekiah would be taken into captivity with some of the other leaders, and those in captivity would live. They would build houses. They would marry. They would have children, and one day they would return. Those who were allowed to remain in Jerusalem and Judah would live peacefully. Like King Zedekiah, he would die in peace and have the burnings of his fathers. Apparently, they would allow him to be buried back in Jerusalem. But Zedekiah did evil in the sight of the Lord. You saw it here. They proclaimed this liberty and then put them all back in bondage again. Afterward, they turned, caused the servants and the handmaids, whom they had let go free, to return and brought them into subjection for servants and for handmaids. 2 Kings chapter 24 and verse 19 says, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that Jehoiakim had done. And not only did he do evil in the sight of the Lord, but he rebelled against the king of Babylon. 2 Kings 24:20, through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, until he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Now when he did that, you know what the Lord did? he did something that was very contrary to what Jeremiah had prophesied. Jeremiah said, you're going to die in peace, not with a sword, and they'll bury you with the burnings of your fathers. Well, as a result of what Zedekiah did by doing evil in the sight of the Lord and rebelling against the king of Babylon, rather than escape the sword and die in peace, he was captured. His sons were killed before his eyes. Then his eyes were blinded. And then he was carried captive to Babylon. Look in 2 Kings chapter 25, verses 6 and 7. So they took the king, that's Zedekiah, and brought him up to the king of Babylon to Riblah, and they gave judgment upon him. And they slew his sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and bound him with fetters of brass, and carried him to Babylon. Oh, the prophecy turned out drastically different. Zedekiah thought, boy, I'll tell you what he said. Captivity in Babylon is not what I want. So he did evil in the sight of the Lord, rebelled against the king of Babylon, ended up in captivity in Babylon, but he was blinded. His boys had been killed, and his city burned down. You know what? He had it made when the Lord prophesied Jeremiah would escape being burned, or Jerusalem would escape being burned with fire. But Zedekiah went back to the sins of his fathers, and the Lord destroyed him, and the Lord destroyed Judah. Now, you know what Zedekiah is like? Zedekiah is like a guy who received this good prophecy, just like you received the blessings and mercies of the Lord when you repented after getting caught from the bad thing you did. And he thought, well, I can go back now to what I was doing before. He went back to it, and the outcome was far worse. And I'm going to tell you something. The outcome will be far worse for you as well. The latter end was worse for Zedekiah than it was in the beginning. And it's always that way when you turn back after God has extended mercy and you've repented. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. You'll see it again. Matthew chapter 12. Keep it. This is what's going on. You repented. You got in a right relationship with the Lord. The Lord was good to you, and you thought, huh, I can go back to my old ways. And you find out, you know what, this was a bad mistake, and it is a bad mistake. The latter end is worse. Matthew chapter 12, look at verse 43 to 45. Jesus Christ said to the generation of Jews to whom he was preaching in Israel, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. When Jesus Christ came to Israel, you know he had a healing ministry. And that healing ministry sent him all over the country of Israel. And he healed many that were sick. And often when he healed them, he would say things like, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come on thee. Many times when he healed them of a disease, the disease was something that the devil had brought on them. These things oftentimes were the result of sin, result of demon possession. So he healed many that were sick, and he cast out their devils. And you know something? For a while, the Jews rejoiced in Jesus' presence among them. But you know what happened at the end of his reign? At the end of his reign, most of the Jews changed their minds, and they turned against him. And you know what? The latter end was worse from them than the beginning. I mean, they had worse problems with devil possession, as you see here. One gets cast out, and seven that are more wicked come back. They had trouble with devil possession. Worse after Jesus left than before he came. And eventually, Titus the Roman came and destroyed their temple and ran those that he didn't slaughter out of the country. You say, well, what was that all about? Jesus came and showed them mercy. gave them space to repent. They turned toward him for a period of time. Then they decided, you know what, we're going to go right back to what we were doing before. Well, before they were just under Roman control, and afterwards they were under Roman destruction. The latter end was worse for Israel. When Jesus came, he took care of things, and then they turned back to their old ways and were in worse shape. I'll show you something else. Go back to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and look at verses 19 to 21. We didn't read the whole context before. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 to 21. And in this passage, the Bible says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment that was delivered unto them. Listen, there is more pressure right now for Christians to turn back to sin than at any other time in the last 50 years. And naive Christians are believing these false preachers and these false teachers and are following their pernicious ways, 2 Peter 2:2 says. And you know what? They wind up thinking they have discovered some new doctrine. They thinking that they are getting away with something, and they're not. Now you're going to find out that every reward that you had hoped to find in heaven is going to be stripped away from you. And you're going to find out that every thought you had about how good it was going to be for you in heaven because you had, you know, repented, going to turn back. Now listen, I realize that the verses on 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 to 21, I realize that this passage is in the context of false preachers and false teachers. I realize that these verses we just read, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 to 21, don't teach eternal security. But I also realize that false preachers and false teachers have been responsible for turning many true Christians away from God by the promise of liberty, when in fact they're bringing them into the bondage of corruption. When a Christian turns away from righteousness and goes into something like homosexuality or adultery, for instance, it's often harder to turn him back to righteousness than if he hadn't already been saved. And the Bible says the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Look at what he says again. I'm going to show you how this goes. I'm thinking right now of a friend of mine that I've had for many years who has gone off the deep end. And the guy, as the Lord is my witness, I fully expect to see him in heaven based upon what Jesus Christ has already done for him. But he got tripped up by those who speak great swelling words of vanity and allure through the lust of the flesh. Those who promised him liberty when they themselves were the servants of corruption. And he was overcome of these preachers who promised this liberty. And now he's brought into bondage. You see, he had escaped the pollutions of the world when he got saved through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But then he got entangled therein, and he was overcome, just like the servants of corruption were overcome, and now the latter end is worse with him than the beginning. It had been better for him not to have known the way of righteousness than after he had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to him. You see, if he was a lost man who was in the sin that he's in right now, and we had the opportunity to deal with him, the Bible says here in these passages that it would be easier to deal with him as a lost man and bring him back to righteousness than it would in the state that he's in. Because he is deeply seated and believes through a delusion that what he is doing, God thinks is okay. In other words, he doesn't believe that his salvation is in jeopardy, and of course, he's not going to lose his salvation. He doesn't believe that his rewards are in jeopardy. He thinks God is perfectly all right with what he's doing. And he'll tell you, I was just made this way. The sin that I'm committing now is the way God made me. He loves me in this sin. I'm saved. He's already forgiven me for this. So God doesn't view this as sin. And so I'm just having a happy, good old time right here in this sin. And you know what? I'll tell you, as God is my witness, from now to the day he dies or Jesus comes to take him at the rapture, he is not going to turn from that sin. Because he's hooked into it so tightly now that he actually believes God is allowing him to do it, that God made him to do it. And like I said, listen, the latter end is worse for a Christian who turns his back on God. The latter end is going to be worse for you because of all this pressure for Christians to sin. Don't be naive. These false teachers and these false preachers have what the Bible calls pernicious ways in 2 Peter 2:2. Those pernicious ways cause great injury. They do great harm by insidiously undermining and weakening. Things just spreads. Listen, you think you're getting away with something, and you are not. You're going to find every reward you hope to find in heaven is going to be stripped away from you, just like Zedekiah's eyesight, and just like Zedekiah's children were brutally taken from him, and just like Jerusalem and the promised land were destroyed and taken away from Israel, and just like the birthright and blessing were taken away from Esau. You, listen, you cannot go back to what you used to do and hope by any stretch of the imagination to do that and get away with it. Look, at any Christian who once had victory over a particular sin, when he returns to that sin, it's 10 times harder to deal with it than before he'd gotten the victory over it the first time. My friend will tell you, if you were to sit down and visit with him, that he was younger. He had trouble with, you know, sexual sin, personally. And as he got older and was tripped up by these people, he fell for this homosexuality thing that he's involved in now. And he says, that's you know what? That's the way I was born. And this is the way God made me. And I've already been forgiven. And everything's fine. And I'm sanctified in this deal. And everything's fine. And he ain't coming out. Not at all. And it's tragic. I see this with a number of other people. I was talking to a preacher the other day, and he was telling me about a very dear preacher friend of his whose child is now into homosexuality, full-blown. And he said, I know that child. That child was saved. Evidently what happened, dealing with some sort of problems like that, undisclosed when he was younger, then got into this, and now he can't get out and doesn't want to get out. Thinks he's in liberty to be doing what he's doing. And there are other people like that today. And there's a fella, and he's married, and he steps out, and he has adultery, and there's a fella, and he gets hooked on this pornography stuff like people are today. I'm going to tell you something. When you got saved, God gave you strength against that, and you put it down for a period of time. You cleaned up your act, just like that house that was empty, swept, and garnished, the Bible talked about in Matthew chapter 12, just like Israel was after Jesus Christ cast all those devils out in his earthly ministry. And then all of a sudden you started messing around with that in your mind again and got hooked on that stuff on the internet and got messing around with that stuff physically, and now you are stuck. And you're wondering, how in the world am I going to get out? And I'm going to tell you what, the trouble you're having with that sin now is 10 times harder to deal with than before you had gotten the victory over it the first time. I remember a fellow, a good friend of mine, he's dead now. He got saved, and you know what? He quit smoking. And he said, brother, God, he said to me, God delivered me from this. And so one day he was alone, and he thought, you know, it couldn't hurt to smoke one. and he picked up that cigarette and he smoked it. And you know what? He died smoking cigarettes. And he would tell me in tears, he said, "Brother, I cannot shake this. And I want God to deliver me now like he did back then when I got off the cigarettes." And he won't do it. I told him, I said, "Well, he wasn't going to deliver you in the first place. You know, he didn't give them to you. You need to put them down and trust his grace to get through this." But boy, he couldn't. He couldn't. When he turned back that thing, it was worse with him than it was at the beginning. Listen, you cannot turn back to the stuff you did before you were saved without temporal and eternal consequences that you may never get over. Do you understand? Listen to me carefully. Listen to the Bible carefully. You saw it in the life of Zedekiah. You saw it in the life of Israel. You saw it in the life of Christians in 2 Peter chapter 2. And I'm telling you, it's not going to be any different for you. Whatever sin you used to commit, alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, pornography, adultery, homosexuality, whatever you were involved in back there, okay? Anger, jealousy, envy, bitterness, spite, gossip, tail-bearing, whatever it was you were involved in back there. When you got saved, you got sort of a lifting. You may have even said, like others have said, it felt like a great weight of sin had been lifted off my shoulders. Let me tell you something. If you go back to that now, and you get into it like these guys in 2 Peter chapter 2, where you're back in bondage, you're overcome by that thing and back in bondage, I'm going to tell you what, you may never get out of it till you die. It happened to Zedekiah, it happened to Jerusalem, it happens to these folks here in 2 Peter chapter 2, and it's going to happen to you. The latter end is worse. Do not be one of them. Stick by what the Lord Jesus Christ has given you and stay away from that stuff that hindered you and kept you in bondage in your past and live by faith in the victorious life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.